Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, dear saints, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News, where I, your brother and servant in the Lord, am in studio to give it to the Joint College of African American Bishops once again, and I'm going to give it to them in the kisser. We are in the squared circle. We are having a earnestly contending for the faith kind of match. The number here for Mr. J. Delano Ellis and the Joint College of African American Bishop members. Any one of them can call. We will receive their phone call. We will welcome them. And we will debate them. The number here is 646-564-9730. Again, 646-564-9730. And my brothers and sisters from Africa and Europe and the Caribbean and the Americas and from other parts of the world, we welcome you to this broadcast where I will be presenting Proposition Number 61. Proposition Number 61. Now, yesterday, we presented to you, or rather on Monday, excuse me, we presented to you Proposition Number 60. And in that proposition, we proved once again that the Joint College of African American Bishops are very much into insignia or episcopal accessories, like when a woman accessorizes. There's something about the Joint College. There's something about the Joint College that just cries out effeminacy. I mean, it's just, why would grown men want to wear all of these vestments, stockings, get manicures, and walk the way they do and carry on the way they do if they're not effeminate? All of that stuff cries out effeminate. You're effeminate. I don't know that they are, but I can't see John the Baptist wearing effeminate outfit. In fact, Jesus said John the Baptist did not wear effeminate outfits. Jesus said, when you went to go see John, what did you see? Did you see a man with effeminate wear? That's what Jesus said. Read the text in the Greek. Read it in the Greek. Read it. Read it in the original. Jesus said, when you went out to see John the Baptist, you didn't see some queer. You didn't see what you see when you visit Rome, you see these men in these effeminate togas. That's what you see when you go to Rome. Jesus said, you didn't see that kind of clothing on John the Baptist. And yet Mr. J. Delano Ellis, when he's conducting one of his elevation / enthronement / consecration services, he claims that one of the vestments that he's putting on, one of the pieces of the garments, is the prophet's garment. The prophet. Well, you wouldn't catch Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, or John the Baptist. You wouldn't catch them dead wearing those kinds of garments. Sorry, Mr. Ellis, but you're wrong. Mr. Ellis, can you call us here at 646-564-9730? We'd like to talk to you about the pectoral cross. We'd like to talk to you, sir. So let's go back to Proposition 60 before I present Proposition 61. On Monday, we read to you Proposition 60, and it read like this. The purchasing of an insignia, and again, the word insignia is equal to accessories. The purchasing of an episcopal insignia or accessory, such as the gold pectoral cross, makes those who wear them the grandest of hypocrites, whom Christ will expose, rebuke, and damn at the judgment. We saw this yesterday. My brothers and sisters, we played for you J. Delano Ellis telling a newly consecrated bishop that the cross that he was about to put on them spoke about their love for God, spoke about how your sentence is life, you can never get out. But we saw that wearing a cross, as Mr. J. Delano Ellis would hypocritically ask members of the Joint College of African American Bishops to do, wearing a cross is very different from what Jesus mandated, which was to carry a cross. Those who wear crosses and don't carry them are hypocrites. They're hypocrites. And not just hypocrites, but the grandest of hypocrites. What's a hypocrite? Well, the word was used by Jesus to describe a phony, a religious actor. For example, a wolf in sheep's clothing is a hypocrite. Why? Because the wolf puts on the costume of a sheep to get in among the sheep. But when the shepherd is gone, he will destroy the flock. The wolf will. So a wolf in sheep's clothing is a masquerading hypocrite. And I would argue, and so would my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that those who wear these episcopal insignia, such as the mitre and the gloves and the episcopal ring, all these men are hypocrites. They're actors. It's like when a wolf puts on sheep's clothing. It's to masquerade. It's to throw off, if you will, any suspicion. Well, he can't be a wolf. Look at him. He's a sheep. But really, 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 if you were to lift the sheepskins, you would find the wolf underneath. And it's the same thing with these phony bishops. If you would look underneath their vestments and underneath all of the accessories that they carry on their bodies, if you really go down and you really do a good search, you'll find underneath all of that episcopal garb and under all of that episcopal insignia, you would find a grand hypocrite, whom, by the way, according to Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 30, and Matthew chapter 10, verses 38 through 39, and Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 25, these are the kinds of hypocrites that Jesus will expose and rebuke before all and damn to eternal damnation. That was Monday's broadcast. because last night we were on to do our end time news report with Sister Marie. Well, I'm back in studio today to do Proposition Number 61. And we're going to continue with this pectoral cross. Now, Proposition 61, the purchasing of an insignia such as a gold pectoral cross makes those who wear them the grandest of hypocrites who render Christ lip service. What do they render Jesus Christ? They render the Lord lip service. What is lip service? Well, let's look at what Jesus said. Jesus says, our Lord now. This is our Lord. This is not Jane Delano Ellis. This is not the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus speaking. This is the Shepherd of Shepherds speaking. This is the Good Shepherd speaking. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in Matthew chapter 15, verse number 7, he says, ye hypocrites, referring to the religious leaders of the day who were all dressed up as Mr. J. Delano Ellis recommends in his dopey book, The Bishopric, A Handbook on Creating Episcopacy in the African American Church. It's like the Pharisees in the days of Jesus and the Sadducees and the scribes. It seems like those people in Jesus' day had an advanced copy of J. Delano's jackass book. And to these religious hypocrites, Jesus says, ye hypocrites, ye actors, you're actors. You get into costume and then you get into your role. See, you first put on all the makeup, you get it, you put on all of the costume of the day, and then you get on stage to read your lines, you hypocrites. Because everything that you say, it's just like, folks, you know, when you go to Broadway and you watch a Broadway play and you see the actors, they're just reading lines. Now, of course, actors are putting everything they got into reading their lines because they want you to believe that they are who they claim they are on stage. But when the show is over and the curtain comes down, you go home. Why? Because that was just a show. And what you're getting when these bishops get together, all you're getting is a show. The things that they say are not, they don't really mean them. They're just reading lines. These are hypocrites. These are religious actors. They're in costume, and now they have to get into character. You know, you just can't be in costume. You also have to act the part. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah the prophet prophesy of you, saying... And where did Jesus quote? Well, he quoted Isaiah 29:13. Well did Isaiah the prophet speak of you, prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth. They draw nigh. These are hypocrites. These people are hypocritical. They draw nigh and they read their lines. They're like actors. They read their lines. They draw near unto me with their mouth. And they honoreth me with their lips. They say, praise the Lord. They say, hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Let's give a hand to Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church. I mean, they give Jesus lip service. They honor Jesus with their lips. But what? But their heart is far from me. Their heart. Now, what is a pectoral cross? Well, the pectoral cross comes from the Latin pectus, P-E-C-T-U-S, pectus. Pectus means the breastbone. You know, you have this hard bone here in the middle of your chest, and that hard bone is protecting your heart. So notice, my dear brothers and sisters, notice this pectoral cross that hangs right next to the heart, next to the pectus. Because you're supposed to have Jesus next to your heart. That's the idea behind the pectoral cross. Jesus is supposed to be right next to your heart because you're so devoted to Jesus. But you see, But you see, it's just costume wear. It's just costume jewelry. It's just one of the accessories that they put on to deceive the masses, because the Lord says, they draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, even though they're wearing a pectoral or a heart cross. That's what a pectoral cross is. A pectoral cross means I got Jesus in my heart, and I want you to see it. He's in my heart, but he's not there. Because you're giving him hollow praise. Your praise is hollow and shallow. Your praise carries no weight with God. Because all you do is you draw near with your lips and you honor him with your lips. But he really doesn't reside in you. Listen, folks. This is why you find so many priests in the Roman Catholic Church who have bankrupted the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is full of men who wear pectoral crosses. The priests wear pectoral crosses. The bishops wear pectoral crosses. The archbishops, the cardinals wear pectoral crosses. And how many of these clowns who carry these crosses it hangs from their neck and it reaches right to their breastbone right there where the heart is. That's where the cross, the pectoral, pectoral, Latin. Got to be right there. Because it signifies Jesus in the heart. But you don't love Jesus. How do we know you don't love Jesus? Because you're molesting little boys. The Roman Catholic Church in America is bankrupt. They've paid out so many lawsuits. They've paid out so many pedophilia judgments. And these are people who walk around with the collar. They walk around with the collar, and you call them father. Hello, father. Hello, yeah. He's not a father. He's a pedophile. Don't let that cross hanging from his neck that goes right to the heart. Don't let that deceive you. Because they draw nigh to God with their lips, and they give God so many wonderful platitudes, but their heart has not been affected by God. It's what we call classic lip service, classic lip service. Because, you see, those who really have Jesus in their heart carry the cross. Those who don't have Jesus in their heart wear a cross. They're wearing a cross. The idea, and when I mean by all, I'm not talking about good Christians, holy Christians who wear crosses. I'm not talking about the saints in the church. There are saints in the church who really wear a cross, and they wear it honorably, and they wear it, and they're really living for Jesus. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about the hypocrites in the Joint College of African American Bishops. With their mitres and with their gloves and with their Episcopal rings and now with their pectoral cross, they want to impress you that they are the man of God. But again, that's just another kind of sheepskin for these wolves. Again, Proposition 61, the purchasing of an insignia such as the gold pectoral cross makes those who wear them the grandest of hypocrites who render Christ what kind of service? Lip service. The Apostle Paul said that we as Christians, he says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may render to Christ what? That you may render unto him your reasonable service, your biblical service. But these individuals render Jesus lip service. They flap their gums, they flap their lips, but they don't mean a word that they're saying. Not a word. Not a word. Now, Reading to you from our Sunday's Visitor, Catholic Encyclopedia, Revised Edition, by the Reverend Peter M.J. Stravinskas. He writes on page number 766. What is the pectoral cross? He writes, a cross, usually a precious metal and sometimes ornamented with jewels, expensive, in other words, expensive, suspended by a chain around the neck, worn over the breast, hence the name from pectus, breast, breast comes from. That's where it comes from. That's where this garbage comes from. The Roman Catholic Church is the church of hypocrites. All of those priests who do the mass and lead you into the confessional booth and would have you, would absolve you of your sins and have you do a few Our Fathers and a few Hail Marys afterwards can be found touching little boys in their private parts. While wearing their pectoral crosses, may I add. They're doing all of that. They are touching little boys and little girls as they're dressed. As they're dressed with all of their accessories on. Now, out of the Catholic Encyclopedia Revised and Updated, on page number 466, it says this concerning the pectoral cross. As an official ornament of office, this cross has come to be used only since the 17th century. It is worn on the breast, suspended from a chain or cord about the neck, by the Pope, cardinals, abbots, abbesses, and certain other prelates. The pectoral cross should be made of gold. Should be made of gold. Why? Because the heart of Church of Revelation 17 is into gold, my brothers and sisters. That's why it has to be made of gold. And may be decorated with gems. That of a bishop, speaking of the pectoral cross, that of a bishop usually contains relics of a martyr. In other words, a pectoral cross from a bishop has something special. You know what it has? A dead piece, a piece of bone from a martyr, maybe some hair from a martyr, some junk from a martyr, some witchcraft junk. And I can go on and on and on. I'm just waiting for Mr. Ellis or one of his goons there at the Joint College of Bishops to call the broadcast because we want to talk about these crosses that they wear because they're copying Rome. See, Mr. Ellis didn't create a handbook on episcopacy for the African American church. He copied this junk from the Roman Catholic Church. He got it from the Roman Catholic Church. Where did he get the mitre? From the Roman Catholic Church. Where did he get the gloves? From the Roman Catholic Church. Where did he get the episcopal ring? From the Roman Catholic Church. Where did he get the pectoral cross? From the Roman Catholic Church. When you read Mr. Ellis's book, and it talks about the cross, it says on page 53, the cross and chain should be of precious gold or silver and may be worn by bishops only. Well, Jesus said, if anyone is to be his disciple, and he's not referring to rank, he's speaking of all believers, if any man is going to follow Jesus, let him not wear a cross of gold or silver, but let him take up his cross. His spiritual cross, where he dies to self, dies to the world, and dies to ambition. And need be, if he need die for Christ, he'll die for Christ. The cross may have a precious stone encrusted in keeping with the bishop's desire. The chain from which it is to be suspended should be at least 40 inches in length from end to end. My brothers and sisters, you can't find any of this junk in the Bible. You can't find any of this junk in Paul's pastoral letter to Timothy or Titus. But you'll find it in Roman Catholic canon law from where Mr. Ellis copied it verbatim. Now, here's a video. Here's an interesting video. Because some have written to me, some have emailed me and said, that's not true, that's not true. We don't believe, even though I read it out of the Catholic dictionaries. I quoted you the Catholic dictionaries. I quoted the author. I quoted the publishing house. I gave you the dates of the publication of those books. You can go look it up. I gave you the footnote. Now, here is a Roman Catholic website. Now, let them explain to you the symbols of the office of the bishop. And listen closely, dimwits who emailed me. Listen closely, you dimwits, you half-wits, you no-wits. Listen to this Roman Catholic official explain to you what the ring means. What the ring means. Listen closely. Because we don't lie on this broadcast. We don't lie. We don't make stuff up. Yes, I did say that if a female bishop is consecrated and ordained and elevated, as Mr. Ellis said, we've done it according to church law. We've consecrated you according to canon law. Well, canon law says the bishop marries the church. Well, that's spiritual adultery to begin with. When you marry a male bishop to a female church, the church is always female. The church is always spoken of as the bride of Christ. So a male bishop marrying a church is spiritual adultery because, again, she's supposed to be the bride of Christ. But when you marry a female bishop off to a female church, that's spiritual lesbianism. Now, here it is. And I need to play this because some of you people out there don't want to believe the truth. Here it is. Listen closely. Pay attention.
In addition to the Book of the Gospels, the newly ordained bishop is presented with the pontifical insignia, the symbols of his office. They're the ring, the mitre, and the crozier. These insignia are symbols which reflect the character of the office of the bishop. Much like a wedding ring, the bishop's ring is a symbol of his fidelity to and nuptial bond with the church, his spouse. It signifies the bishop's symbolic marriage to the church of Christ with the church, his spouse. Much like a wedding ring, the bishop's ring is a symbol of his fidelity to and nuptial bond with the church, his spouse. It signifies the bishop's symbolic marriage to the church of Christ. Traditionally, the ring is gold, the office of the bishop. Much like a wedding ring, the bishop's ring is a symbol of his fidelity to and nuptial bond with...
See, when the bishop gets a bishop's ring, it speaks of his fidelity to and his nuptial bond. I mean, when you marry someone, you do their nuptials. It's nuptial bonds. Listen, folks, get a dictionary. Learn what these terms mean. This guy is telling you. One of the symbols of the bishop is the ring. What does it mean? Well, it speaks of his fidelity. His fidelity to who? His wife. Who's his wife? The church. But I thought that Jesus was supposed to marry the church, not man, not some men. It speaks of his nuptials. Here it is again.
Much like a wedding ring, the bishop's ring is a symbol of his fidelity to and nuptial bond with the church.
Did you hear that? Much like the wedding ring that you and I wear, the bishop's ring symbolizes his what? His fidelity to the church, his nuptial bonds. I mean, he got married. That's spiritual adultery. You read 2 Corinthians 11:2, Paul would have never thought of marrying the Corinthian church. Well, I'm going to have a ceremony, and you're going to give me a bishop's ring, and you and I are going to be. No, he said, no. He says, I have to present to you to Christ as a chaste virgin. As a church not involved in spiritual adultery. You didn't go a-whoring after any human idol. You didn't fall in love with me. You fell in love with Christ. And I did what? I engaged you to him. And that I may present him, that I may present you to him. When? At the second coming, at the wedding of the Lamb, Revelation 19. Don't get mad at me if Bishop J. Delano Ellis is consecrating women to the bishopric and then telling them, well, we just did it according to church law, or we just did it according to canon law. Well, that's spiritual lesbianism. Don't blame me if that clown did that. And don't blame me if you allowed him to ordain you as a female bishop. Don't blame me if you're caught up in spiritual lesbianism. Don't blame me for your stupidity. Blame yourself. People walking around with doctorates and are clueless. Where did you get your doctorate? What school did you go to? Here it is again. And you don't need a doctorate. Just go to YouTube. Go to YouTube. The Roman Catholic Church doesn't hide what they do. This is on a YouTube channel.
Much like a wedding ring, the bishop's ring is a symbol of his fidelity to and nuptial bond with the church, his spouse. It signifies the bishop's symbolic marriage to the Church of Christ. Traditionally, the ring is gold. It might have an amethyst, a purple stone, which is typically the symbol of the bishop's office, or it might have the bishop's crest on it. The mitre and crown.
There you have it. There you have it. Now, going back to our study today, I just had to get that. Now that since we're talking about pectoral crosses, and the word pectus means chest or breast. Now that I got that off my chest, let's go back to these bishops today who are given these chains with the crosses on it. And let's listen to Mr. J. Delano Ellis render Jesus lip service. Listen to this foolishness. Listen to the theological foolishness coming out of this man's mouth, who happens to be the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus, in other words, chief jackass of the Joint College of Asinine, Hee-Hawing, Roman Catholic Stooge Bishops. Mr. Ellis, you can call the broadcast. Here's the number, 646-564-9730. There you go. There you go, sir. Call the broadcast, please. I'd like to take you to the woodshed. I'd like to take you or send 10 of your goons. We have enough room in our studio for 10 phone calls. Send 10 of your goons. So I can put your goons in their places. In fact, these women that you've been ordaining as bishop, these females that you've been ordaining, put them on so that I can explain to them what you just got them involved in. It's called spiritual lesbianism. Put them on. Let me explain it to them. Let me connect the dots for these women. Now, here is J. Delano Ellis giving a newly ordained, elevated, consecrated, enthroned bishop a pectoral cross. Here he is. And listen to the nonsense that comes out of his mouth.
God forbid that I should glory in anything except the cross of Jesus Christ.
Well, what is that? Well, that's lip service. Again, verse 8, Matthew 15, verse 8. It says, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honored me with their lips. This is Jesus talking. These people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now, he's got a cross in his hand, and he's telling this woman, God forbid that you should glory in anything other than the cross of Jesus Christ. Well, at the end of the ceremony, she's glorying, and he's glorying in her office. So what do they do? This is just lip service. This is lip service. You don't honor Jesus. You don't honor Jesus by wearing a cross around your neck. You honor Jesus by picking up your cross and following him. Let's not get confused now, folks. These bishops have the life of ease. They do nothing. They're do-nothing people. That's what they are. They're do-nothing people. They live like fat cats. And that's why you look at most of them, they're fat. They're fat cats. They're lazy. And he comes, God forbid that you should glory in anything except the cross. That's the last thing they do. They're clueless about the cross. They think that by hanging a cross around their necks and it reaches and it hangs over their heart. Let me tell you something. Jesus has got to be there, not hang over it. He's got to be on the inside, and it's not a piece of gold. Here it is again. Here's the lip service. These people, said Jesus, draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Oh, they're wonderful actors. Oh, they're wonderful hypocrites. Oh, they're in costume and oh, do they know their lines? Oh, do they know their lines? But on that day, Jesus will say to me, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Get out of my face. But Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? And Lord, in thy name did we not cast out devils? Lord, and in thy name did we not do many wonderful works? Yeah, but in my name you acted. In my name you rendered lip service. You hypocrites. And I'm sure these people didn't start out this way. I'm sure they didn't start out this way. But they're this way now. They're this way now. And one bad apple. Isn't that the old saying? One bad apple in the barrel. One. Here it is again. Here it is. Here's the classic lip service.
God forbid that I should glory in anything except the cross of Jesus Christ.
Now you hear all the people, amen, amen, amen. People are buying it. People are buying it. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it because if you see this whole service and when he concludes it, it's about being part of this club. It's not about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ didn't wear these fine clothes, and Jesus Christ didn't wear gold chains, and Jesus Christ did not subjugate his people. He liberated his people. Jesus did not set up an earthly empire. Jesus did not set up a hierarchy. God forbid. He's a classic. This guy's a classic. God forbid that I should glory in anything except the cross of Jesus Christ. God forbid.
God forbid that I should glory in anything except the cross of Jesus Christ.
Amen, amen, woo, amen, amen. Dopey people, dopey people, dopey people.
This cross made of precious gold.
This cross made of precious gold. You know how much that thing cost? You know what the price of gold is today? And if you go online, you will find that there have been many robberies, many break-ins to parishes and dioceses where people know that where these crosses are. There have been gazillions. Why? Because if you steal one of these crosses, I mean, you're talking $5,000-$6,000. With the price of gold, I mean, you got a 40-inch chain. We're not talking about a little invisible chain. No, these are thick chains. These things are expensive. And the bigger the cross, the more of a bishop you are. You can't have a little miniature cross. It's like the girl who gets engaged and nobody can see the little diamond on the ring. She's embarrassed to show her engagement ring because the diamond is so microscopic. No, these bishops go all out. It's a big cross. The cross is, and then it's encrusted. It has a jewel. I mean, this is no joke. You go online and you'll see there's been a rash of robberies. Thieves have been stealing these things from bishops. Why? Because you get one of these, I mean, you hit the jackpot. You rob one of these, it's big money. This is no joke.
And this.
No joke whatsoever. It's big money, big money. Big money.
God forbid that I should glory in.
Can't you hear the hypocrisy in those words? God forbid. Can't you hear the hypocrisy? I mean, you read Second. Look, folks. Look, read Second Corinthians. Read Second Corinthians. Let me give you the chapter. I want you to do this as a homework assignment. Do this as a homework assignment. 2 Corinthians. Let me give you the exact chapter. 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians. And you read chapter 4, and you read about the troubles that the Apostle Paul was in. You read chapter 11. You read the whole chapter of chapter 11. It says here, verse 20, chapter 11, verse 24, as an example. He says, of the Jews, 5 times receive I 40 stripes, save one. In other words, he received 39 whippings, 39 stripes, 5 times from the Jews. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness, painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger, in thirst, in fasting, in cold, in nakedness. When the Apostle Paul said, God forbid that I should glory in any. I mean, he paid the price. He was carrying his cross and not a gold cross. Paul was no sissified preacher. Read chapter 11. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Read that. Read it. Starting at verse 24. And you tell me which one of these bishops would line up. To do what Paul did. Which one of these sissified preachers would do that? Which one of these they won't even call the broadcast. They won't even call the broadcast to defend Christ, much less suffer for Christ. Who are you kidding?
Anything except the cross of Jesus Christ. This cross, made of precious gold, it's not pretty. It's symbolic. Her chain is worn in her left breast pocket, in a suit, on a vestment. It's worn exposed. But it's not something to be just admired. The chain means she's a prisoner. Your sentence is life. You can never get out.
That is the height of hypocrisy. That's the height of hypocrisy. None of that means anything. Those are just words. Those are just words. This lip service. Well did Isaiah speak of you, said Jesus. Well did Isaiah speak of you, who render the Lord's lip service. You honor me with your mouth. You praise me with your lips. But your heart, the center of emotion and love is devoid of me. Your heart is far from me. Think about it. What separates that huge cross that hangs right over the chest bone and what separates that cross and your heart? A few layers of skin? A chest bone? I mean, it's right there. But that hanging cross cannot get in that heart, because it's just hanging there. And it takes a born-again experience for any man and any woman to have. And who knows, maybe some of these people started out right. But how did they end up so wrong? How did they end up so wrong? This is just lip service. Because these people don't work. I'm being honest. They don't work. Now, don't tell me, well, my bishop has five campuses. Yeah, but he's working for himself. He don't work for you. And the reason why he has five campuses is because he has five precinct centers. Yeah, they work hard, but it's not for you. They work hard for themselves. When it comes to you, they're bums. When it comes to you, they have a no-show job. And don't tell me that preaching on Sunday is working. It's not working. It's lip service. So, my brothers and sisters, we're going to have to leave it there, because Mr. Ellis didn't call. None of his goons called. None of his stooges on the board have called, so we'll leave it there, and I'll come back tomorrow, Thursday, with proposition number 62. Punch in the face number 62 is coming up tomorrow. God bless you, saints. Love you in Jesus.
A mighty fortress.